WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLiveChat. You got Amazon Prime? Which means you have a free sub. Just click the purple button. Use it. It's free. They got rid of Prime Gaming, so I don't know what to call it, so here we are. But thanks to Brent for 32 months.
Welcome!
We're here to talk about Crown Jewel. I am the producer. Joined, as always, by the person you just said you're welcome, the intern, King Kittens.
Hello!
And we have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
Hi, everybody.
So yeah, we're here to talk about WWE Crown Jewel, which takes place this Saturday, live from Perth, Australia, at the early time of 8 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, dang.
Only 5 a.m. my time, yay!
So, you wake up from wrestling this Saturday on the ESPN app.
5 a.m. Pacific if it's 8 Eastern.
Well, I'll be with you in Pacific time because I will be in that time zone this weekend.
Oh, there you go!
And surprisingly, I might actually be awake at that time.
So there you go.
I ain't watching any pre-show, but I'll be there watching the game.
I forgot about there's going to be a pre-show. Jesus, that's going to start what? What do we think?
6 Eastern?
6 Eastern. They can't do 2 hours. Nah.
They've been doing about 2 hours.
But this is early, though.
They may not because they're in
Perth.
Well, they may not because it's also ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it might be 2 hours. It might be a one, like, ESPN for an hour and then actual WWE for an hour.
I don't know. They'll let us know this week. But 6 a.m. pre-show? Hey? No. catch it on another time. But I don't think they'll produce 2 hours. I would assume it's going to be a one-hour kickoff show because they know their audience is not going to be up for that. But we have four matches to get through tonight. Two Crown Jewel championships will be on the line for the men and the women. Only one is someone, I guess, technically defending the Crown Jewel championship. We're trying to get a new ring. I guess that's how it works. I don't know if it's...
He's going for the Tom Brady.
Going for the Tom Brady. I mean, he'll be close to his buddy MJF at some point if he keeps winning all these. With all his diamond rings.
It's only the one Dynamite diamond ring. It's just a matter of he's won it four times.
I just brought up, you get the point.
I get it.
We will also have a big women's tag team match, and that's where we're going to start. It is Rhea Ripley teaming up with Io Sky to take on the Kabuki Warriors, which has been one of the main stories that has taken place during Monday Night Raw over the last, I would say, 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen this kind of... I mean, it's been an ever so slow dissolution of damage control, and I know that they haven't called it damage control for a while. I get it. But it's like, at least the three people of the group have still been around, and they had associations, but you started to see the cracks with Asuka and Io. Because Asuka, of course, is going bit by bit by bit crazy, and Io has been more kind of like, nope, I can do this on my own, I can go my own route, and... You've had Kairi kind of just there, trying to play like mediator a bit, trying to just be like, "We're not really gonna go here, guys. We're not gonna go here." And then 2 weeks ago, it all just imploded.
She listens to her girl Asuka.
Well, yeah, like Asuka, I think was there for her more than maybe Io. So there's more of a connection there. Plus, they were a tag team before, so makes sense.
It makes a little bit of sense that they kind of see eye to eye more.
Well, and it's also, I mean, of course, from a writing slash roster standpoint, it just makes more sense to keep Io as the face because everyone loves Io right now.
Yep.
So it doesn't make sense for her to turn or be associated with that group when I don't think the fans would really jump on that. They want to cheer her. They want to be on her side. I think with Asuka, it's easy to, you know, because Asuka is such a badass that it's like, if Asuka goes more fierce and is being a little bit more heel, cool, but you can still boo her. I think Io trying to do that, especially with her style, and this happens with a lot of high flyers, it's hard for the fans to be like, we don't like you, when it's like, ooh, but you can do a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Hence why Justin Gabriel was never over as a heel. Well, and he had the personality of a potato.
Yeah, when your finishing maneuver is fun and high flying, it's very hard to be bad.
Which is why it's always kind of astounding me that like Pac with the red arrow or black arrow as the case may be.
Yeah.
Because when he first went heel, I thought he did a great thing, which was he'd go up to give the black arrow and then would like jump off the top rope.
Yeah.
To apply the brutalizer. And it's like, yeah, that gets you more heel heat with the fans of like, oh, here comes the cool thing. And he takes it away from you, you asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing with, like, with Kairi, it feels a little weird because, like, her finishing move is the insane elbow. So it's like, ooh, kind of cool. But at the same time, you're like, I don't know, should I cheer her or not?
That's why Asuka having the miss to kind of bring the team together as a heel kind of helps with, even though she has the insane elbow, it kind of evens it out.
I think that helps, and I think what they did to Io, the combo move helps as well. When it's I'm gonna hold you and she'll hit the elbow, because that's more like, you know, like it's a little more underhand. I mean, it's not underhanded to hold the person up, but it's like it has a different feel to it where you're not going, oh, it's just a high flying move. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, right. It's because they paired, like, because she's paired with Asuka, and Asuka, like, you know, her style can very easily go heel or face, and the fact that Kairi's like very much just being like, yeah, I'll go along with it, I'll do whatever, that all that seems fine to me. That's how you can establish someone who's a high flyer as a heel, as long as you like put them with someone who kind of like generates the heat. And then if you're a high flyer, as long as you're just going with it and like participating, then you will also get heat by association.
So you're saying Kidman as part of the flock?
Yeah, or even like you look at, you know, Owen Hart when he was teaming with Yoko, or, you know, any of the heel teammates that he was with when he was a bad guy, like, because he did, he was a very impressive wrestler. It was a lot easy for him to get that. I mean, on top of the fact that, like, he could generate it with how he talked, but it also was like, oh, he does a lot of cool moves, but he, boy, oh boy, is he underhanded. It's always better if you're a high flyer to, like, pair yourself with more of like a brawler who's kind of a jerk to help you kind of establish that sort of thing.
Or you embody it all at once, like we talked about with Pac.
Yeah, because, and I mean, that's the other way too, right? Like, he can also cut like a really good heel promo, and he does things like, oh, well, they want me to do this, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, he has the brawler tendencies with being the high flyer. So it's like, he doesn't necessarily need Moxley, but it works. I think a good kind of link to show that, though, with the Death Riders is, for lack of a better, Wheeler Yuta. Like, normally, the man doesn't get much of a reaction, or, like, okay, begrudgingly, you may want to cheer him because of just underdog. But you pair him with a Claudio, you pair him with a Jon Moxley.
Well, and you pair him with that Heron. And you pair him with that head hair and beard.
Oh God!
Like that in itself is how Wheeler Yuta gains singles heat.
It's just being unkempt.
Yeah, take a shower, you goon.
But it's what we also get as part of this match, which is interesting, is the like respectful rivals in Io and Rhea. Like, Rhea respects Io so much that it's just like, nah, I'm not going to let them beat you up. Like, they're not going to fuck with you. I'll make sure of it. which is cool to see, because it's one of those things where it's almost like, part of it, I wonder if it's Rhea like, no, if anyone's going to beat you, I'm going to finally beat you. I'm going to get you to that point.
Yeah, I want to keep you healthy, so when I beat you in the ring, it's you at 100%, not because you got beat down by Asuka and Kairi.
Exactly. Plus, as we talked about, I mean, where is this going to be at? So it makes sense to put your biggest Australian superstar on the show.
100%.
Leads to the question of, do the Kabuki Warriors have any chance of winning?
I think they have a chance of winning simply because you want to get them jump-started. If you have them right now just lose to Io and Rhea, like, don't get me wrong, those two are dominant. Like, if you lose to them, it's not necessarily a step back, but at the same time, it's also like, it's not going to do them any favors. Whereas, I think if they can pick up a win, especially underhanded here, since they are the heels in Australia, that can kind of, I think, propel them a bit forward. Do I think that you're going to not give the Australian fans a chance to really cheer a Rhea win? No, I think Rhea and Io are going to win, but I can make an actual good case of the fact of, if you have the Kabuki Warriors win, that really sets them up, considering you beat Rhea in her home.
So who are you going with?
I'm going Rhea and Io.
Keish?
Well, there aren't, you know, it's hard to argue against all that, because, yeah, you do have Rhea Ripley in Australia, and I like that there is more of a believable possibility that Asuka and Kairi could win this match, especially with, like, you know, poison mist and all kinds of dirty tactics that could come into play. But I'm still going to say that Rhea and Io are going to win this match. If they don't, I won't be surprised.
Nor will you be heartbroken.
Exactly. Like, this is one of those ones where, like, you look at it and, like, this really could go either way if they've booked this really well, as opposed to a lot of other non-big pay-per-views where they go and you're like, oh, well, there's pretty much like a 90% chance that this person's winning. This is kind of like 50-50, 60-40 for me.
Well, the final time, because apparently it wasn't a plan till it was a plan.
I heard what the other plan... Well, I heard what supposedly someone said the other plan was. I like this one a little better.
What was the other plan?
The other plan was what was the pay-per-view right before this?
WrestlePalooza.
It was either WrestlePalooza or Clash in Paris was supposed to be John versus Dom.
I feel like we may get that still.
And he was going to take the IC title off of Dom. And would lose it back on Saturday night on the way out.
I don't think they would. I don't know how much I believe that one. Because you build up the whole seven, the never seen 17, then go to Intercontinental. I don't know about that one. But it is AJ Styles in Perth taking on John Cena.
I love that they hearken back to the thing I talked about on this show 2 weeks ago.
Beating up John Cena?
He dropped the goddamn line! I get to beat up John Cena! Honestly, if you're gonna have a match with these two, if you're gonna put it on an international stage, and you want a good contest between John and someone he's faced on the way out, AJ's a good call. Because, don't get me wrong, John can still go, but I think we all agree he might not have the step that he used to in terms of speed. But AJ can pick up that slack a little bit. And plus, if you remember, there was the one match where John and AJ had an entire match where they did not set foot outside the ring. They completely wrestled between the ropes, or on the apron at least, and was pretty... I mean, it was one of those matches where I think a lot of people went, oh, John can wrestle.
Was that the Rumble? I think it was. Rumble?
Maybe. It was Rumble or like a Backlash. Or it was something. But I just remember the fact of like, they never, it was one of those like, you didn't notice, but it's like, they were going and you didn't recognize until after the match. Like, yeah, they never set foot outside, which is rare in today's wrestling. Like, someone at least goes into the table. But yeah, it's one of those things where you can have that moment where you'll get a good match out of them. It'll be worth having it in the international market, especially when you don't frequently go out to Australia. Like, if you're going to put something there, make it big so that the next time you come, people will want to throw down the money. And especially with the WWE nowadays, it's going to involve money. But yeah, AJ and John are going to put together a good match, and they'll be able to do it for the length of time that you need. It doesn't need to have bells and whistles and everything. It'll just be two guys getting to grapple, which is intriguing to see. Because I think the bells and whistles are going to come in the main event. There's going to be a lot of shenanigans in that match.
So does AJ Styles beat up John Cena and take him out one final time?
No.
You think this is a make-good John Cena babyface win?
Think so. Especially after, like,
the destruction of Lesnar.
I'm
leaning that way only because you've got two PLEs left with John Cena, essentially, in terms of you've got him for Survivor Series, and then you've got him for the pseudo PLE of Saturday night's main event as his final. And you had him just obliterated by Brock Lesnar. I think he needs to pick up a win to set up I think no matter what happens at the very end, he's going to, knowing John, knowing the way they're doing this, and I think with Hunter, I think John will probably go out on his back to help build someone on the way out. Whether that's a Dom, whether that's a Braun Breaker, however you want to do it, I think John pays it forward with all of the kick out at twos he's done so far in his career. But I think in this instance, I think John can pick up a win here. I think AJ can take a loss. And AJ also knows that, you know, he's not long for the world, and he doesn't, you know, it's John Cena. It's not going to hurt him. It's on the John Cena retirement tour. If he eats a loss here, so be it. He got paid.
So you're both are going John Cena.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll go with Cena on this one.
It is the Crown Jewel Women's Championship. Stephanie Vaquer taking on Tiffy Time, Tiffany Stratton.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a real fun match. Real fun to watch.
I think for me, it'll be nice because Tiffany is very athletic, though I think at times she may need a little bit of a handhold, because I think she can either go too fast or she's still, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, she's still relatively new. So I think having a very good, capable worker like Stephanie in the ring with her can help, because Stephanie can also keep a very upbeat kind of match, so it can go, you know, quick if you need it to, but she can also take control of it if need be. It's also very interesting in terms of, like, I don't really know who to pick for this one, because Stephanie just got her win with the Raw Women's Championship. She's had a fantastic run overall when you look at her NXT run, her, you know, the trajectory that she's had on Raw and the people that she's faced and everything. She's in a very good spot. And so I think putting the belt on her after Naomi, because I don't know if Naomi in this spot was what they had originally planned, and if so, I wouldn't have had a problem with. But I think Stephanie and Tiffany together does feel kind of good, because you have two people who overall traditional fans may not have expected in this kind of case.
Are you on the same page, Keish?
I don't see Stephanie taking a loss this soon. That's the problem with these matches, is like pitting two champions against each other. One of them's got to lose, and it's really tough.
But the nice thing is they're still champions no matter what. It's just you get a fancy ring out of it.
Yeah.
So, Brent, I need you to do me a piece of research.
Okay.
How many times has Tiffany Strand lost this year?
Okay, hang on.
it's an easy answer, but we'll see if you can figure it out.
Look, AI statement. Tiffany Stratton is undefeated in the entirety of 2025.
Oh, no.
So let's add that wrinkle into the decision of this match.
Yeah.
Is this where you drop the L?
Actually, oh, no, it was a draw with her and Jade on the 25th of April, so technically not a loss.
She hasn't lost this year. She has not been pinned.
Her last official loss was on the WWE Live Holiday Tour, December 30th, 24.
Wow.
Against Bayley. Actually, it was three straight losses to Bayley.
Ooh, that makes that right. Even tougher.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I could see Tiffany take a loss here based on what happened on SmackDown, because they introduced a new wrinkle to things with Julia and Kiana James.
Mm-hmm.
So, Stephanie doesn't really have that on Raw. So what I could see is Kiana or Tiffany, or, you know, someone interject themselves into this match unbeknownst to Stephanie. Stephanie picks up the win, and it sets up Tiffany for whatever her thing is, because she doesn't seemingly have a next contender. She did the triple threat with Jade and Nia, and then, you know, all the stuff that's associated with that. And you have, you know, kind of a void of who does she face next after.
Yeah.
And that could be the story, is Tiffany has yet to lose this year. Oh, they cost her. Now it sets something up. And also Tiffany can make the claim of, it took, you know, however many people to beat me.
Yeah.
That is true. To take this away. So I could see Tiffany do that, and especially because she has held the belt longer,
mm-hmm.
that I could see them giving it to Stephanie here to kind of help keep that rocket going on its upward path, while Tiffany's just orbiting because she's already kind of reached the apex for right now.
Yeah, I like the idea of giving Stephanie the win, regardless of whether there's interference against Tiffany or not. I mean, I like that better from a booking standpoint, but between the two of them, I think Stephanie needs to keep her momentum going more than Tiffany does.
So you're going Stephanie.
I'm going Stephanie.
Brent, you're going...
I'm going Stephanie.
Alright, then it's Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, champ first champ for the men's crown jewel championship.
I like the story that they're telling, in that they're calling back to the history of Seth and Cody, and, you know, the highs and lows that have been there. The fact of they've been opponents, they've been on the same side,
mm-hmm.
in terms of war games and Roman and other things. And yet through all of this, Cody has gotten the better of Seth. There was the Hell in the Cell where Cody's, you know, peck was colors that have not been formally categorized in nature yet. There was WrestleMania when Cody debuted and picked up, you know, his triumphant return.
Yeah.
Seth has yet to get the one over, and he mm-hmm. does have help. Now, are they going to bring over help for Cody? Yet to be seen, because the Bronze have not really made friends in the WWE, and on Raw especially. There's at least four people who want to beat the shit out of the Bronze. And you know where Seth goes, the Bronze are not far behind.
Yep.
So, Cody does have some backup, but the question also is, like, are they in it to help Cody? Are they in it just to get their hands on the Vision? And will it ultimately be just an overall distraction? Because I think one of the things that was really good about this week on TV was there was that moment at the very end where Cody is down and Seth being the opportunist and the strategist and like, hey, I can enact a plan here, tries to get the one up on Cody, and there's one person who sees through it all and is telling him, no, 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 don't do it, it's a setup, you're gonna get hurt. And Seth does it anyway and gets made the fool. So that's one of the things that I think could ultimately tip this in Seth's favor is in all the stuff with Cody, in all of that buildup, in all the times that he's lost, he never had Paul there to be able to help dictate things. Because Paul has shown that he can be the strategist for a lot of people, and he can help see things and set things up in a way that will benefit. And if Seth had listened to Paul, things probably would have gone better this week. So maybe that's the point of, at Crown Jewel, Seth realizes, I need to listen here, and can pick up the win by using that plan instead of what he comes up with.
Yeah. Yeah, having Paul Heyman in your corner is definitely an advantage.
And having Paul Heyman in your corner means there's opportunities to have other people come and assist, even if a visionary doesn't know that's the plan.
That is also true, which could be a whole thing in itself after.
Because there's a beast that's looming around, and you never know. He could get on a flight to Perth.
But remember, he respects Cody.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's
sure he respects money a lot more, though.
He's also a Paul Heyman title. Guy. He's a Paul Heyman. He's a Paul Heyman guy. So you know, it could happen. So who wins?
My gut leans towards Seth.
Why?
Well, you have a combination of like the numbers, and you know, like we say, Paul Heyman could have other plans that Seth might not even know about. Regardless of the fact that Cody has some backup, I feel like Seth has more backup, whether he knows it or not. I think Paul's going to be a big factor in this victory for Seth. So my gut leans towards Seth.
What about you, Brent?
Okay, we touched on this earlier. This match, in my opinion, benefits Seth for a couple of reasons. Most predominantly, neither title is on the line. It's simply for the ring. It's for the idea of, like, who is the better champion. Cody won this last time. He beat Gunther. He doesn't necessarily need it in this point. Does that mean he can't win it? Oh, no. They can absolutely give it back to Cody, and, you know, he'll have two rings, as we joked about, in terms of, you know, he'll start to go for the Brady at that point, or the MJF, as you put it, Rock. But I think the fact of it's not required that, you know, Seth would not have to drop the title here if he lost, which is a benefit to him. Cody losing doesn't mean he loses the title, so he can eat a loss here. Because we also don't know what his plans are for Survivor Series either. We know there's going to be a giant cage. I don't know if Cody goes in it this year. And finding him a competitor keeps him out of it. Unless you have the Vision and something, and Cody is part of the group that wants to take the Vision down. That being said, if you want to get to that point, I think Seth picking up the win on Cody finally, especially if it's by shenanigans, and as we have talked about previously, Seth is a great shit talker when things go his way. So just imagine him being like, hey, Cody, you won all those times before, but when it was time to prove who the better champion was, look who won. And all it takes is that one win for him to be able to just brag the hell out of it. Because he'll hold it up as, I beat you when, you know, the title of the ultimate champion essentially was on the line. So for that I would go Seth on this, and then it helps set up either A, if you want to take this to Survivor Series, and Cody is part of the faction to take down the Vision, so be it, and we can get Cody and CM Punk together, which would be a very interesting pairing. Or you go, or you start to set up Seth and CM Punk for Survivor Series to pull them out of having to do the cage match.
There you go.
Because then you can also do Seth is I'm the greatest champion ever, and CM Punk can just go, yeah, but you're not the best in the world.
Easy booking.
Yeah.
But that's Crown Jewel. Four matches, probably be a fifth announced tomorrow, one would assume.
Maybe with the bronze to put Bronson officially on the card.
What do we think it is?
The problem is if it's the bronze, I don't know what they're going to be facing against, because you've got three possible competitors there, but I don't know if you want LA Knight and Jimmy.
No.
Because I don't think you're going to put LA Knight and Jay together unless no. you really want to drive home the hostilities. But we've also already had Roman and Jay go up against the bronze before.
What if? Because Roman's booked, I believe, is booked for this show. So we're probably going to get the Roman match of some sort. So you could do Roman again versus Bronson Reed, Roman Reigns versus Braun Breaker, Roman and Punk versus the Bronze. How about that one?
Oh, God.
That'd be interesting.
Visions of last year's Survivor Series are filling my head.
You never know. But we shall see. They'll announce it tomorrow on Raw. Most likely. Hopefully.
Oh, God. Now, God damn it, Rock. Now you've got something stuck in... Now you have something in my head that totally screws with what I was talking about.
Yeah?
Because we're talking about the entire clusterfuckery of the main event, right?
Yeah.
Just imagine if someone could screw Seth Rollins out of the...
He could.
...the Ultimate Championship. Just imagine if Seth Rollins is sitting there waiting to deliver the curb stomp, and someone slides in behind him and crotches him... Just like he got crotched a couple of weeks ago.
Hmm.
And that could also be how you get a Punk Rollins match at the next PLE or Saturday Night's main event, is because CM Punk could be like, you know what, you're damn right, I screwed you out of becoming the biggest, you know, the best champion. And that would drive Seth to being like, you know what, I want to kick your ass. I'll put the belt on the line to do it. I don't care. I want my hands on you. I hate you this much.
All possibilities.
But the best part is there are possibilities. It's not just, lol, Cody wins.
Yeah.
Or, lol, you know, Seth Rollins picks up the win here. There are so many ways in which this could go that, I mean, like I said, if you come up with the right kind of backing behind it, that I think we all could go, yeah, no, that was good. Like, that sets some stuff up.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a match that's not super predictable.
It's nice to have options.
Yes. It is nice to have options. But that will do it for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review the show that airs live this Saturday, 8 a.m. Eastern, on the ESPN app and Netflix worldwide. But tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show, back at its normal time when Raw ends, around 10:30 p.m. Eastern, to talk Monday Night Raw. As of today, The Rack is live Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Special Wednesday episode of The Rack to preview Crown Jewel. Saturday night, it's CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. As mentioned, we'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things Crown Jewel. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Flames Forums. Keishi.
Yeah, I have social medias. You can find them at Kyle Driver. If you don't find them, I may not be on it yet, or possibly ever. I will maybe try to post more regularly because it's about time for me to hibernate for the winter. So,
are you about to throw some stones?
Yep. It's I mean, next week up here is Thanksgiving, and then stone throwing starts right after that. So my rock throwing hibernation will start after this week, I guess. But yeah, I'll maybe, you know, once a month I'll show you guys how cold it is up here and
follow him on the socials to keep up to date with him as he goes hibernating for the winter. Brent?
Well, I may have the physique of someone who looks like they hibernate, you know, retaining all of that kind of extra food for the winter. But I will still be here. You can find me across social media, making friends sometimes as I watch wrestling or make other commentary. So you can find me on the various socials, either X Threads, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. One of those two will work.
There you go. Chet, you got Prime? Use it here with a free sub. Click the purple button, see if you do. It is that simple. Subscribe for free. Support the channel. You can use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite episodes to buy K-pop Demon Hunters and all the Halloween stuff that's coming. Because Fortnite matters and hashtag Epic Partner. We'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live for here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.